And for the rest of us, how about we stand and greet each other this morning? Give each other a holy hug. All right, if we could take our seats, please. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer, shall we, as we get ready for our message. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come today, and again, we thank you for being a loving God. Father, we thank you for Casey today as he takes our children and leads them in the junior church. Father, we ask that you would bless their time together as they learn these very, very important foundational stories that are so important to their faith. Father, be with us in big church today as we talk about your truth. And Father, today may this message always, may all of our messages be true, and may they be encouraging, and may they be uplifting. But Father, most importantly, may we not be just hearers of your word, but may we always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we're going to continue in our sermon series on what I have entitled it, What is Truth? What is Truth? And in this series, we've been opening God's Word, and we have been looking at what He has always declared to be true, even as the world around us drifts further and further and further away from the truth. Now, this is message 3 of 5 in this series. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, you'll remember we explored the sanctity of life, where we saw clearly from Scripture that every human being, from the moment of conception to natural death, is made in the image of God, that every life is sacred, valuable, and worthy of protection. Then last week, we looked at another foundational truth that is under intense pressure in our culture, and that is the truth about marriage. We talked how marriage is not a human invention. It's not a social contract. Marriage is God's design. And it's not something that you and I are free to redefine based on our preference and the shifting winds of cultural trends.
I need the clicker.
You mess it up again?
Yep. Okay.
What do you need a white one for?
I'm just doing what Chris asks me to do. Just keep going. We'll catch up.
There are a lot of gremlins in the church today. A lot of little things. I don't think Satan wants me to do this message. Okay. And that brings us to this morning's message, which is perhaps the most personal and most emotionally charged issue that we have faced so far. Matter of fact, it's affected my life, it's affected my family, and that is identity. More specifically, gender identity and sexual identity. And friends, let me tell you something. This isn't just a cultural conversation. As I said, this is deeply personal for many people out there. And believe me, it touches everything. It touches how we see ourselves, where we find meaning, and what defines us on the deepest level. You see, our world today says, you are whoever you feel you are. In other words, our feelings are the ultimate guide to truth, to identity, and purpose. Whereas God's word offers something far more stable, far more loving, and ultimately far more freeing. And that is, you are who God created you to be. And if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You see, friends, our culture today says that your identity is something that you can choose, something that you can redefine. You can choose your gender. You get to choose your pronouns. You get to rewrite your biology. Well, I'm sorry, God's already spoken on that subject. And if you haven't figured it out yet, He's the creator, you're the creation. And no matter how loud the world shouts, that truth will never change.
Amen.
Well, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Genesis chapter 1. And let's follow along as I read verse 27. Probably not on the screen. You're going to have to use your own Bibles. Hey, hopefully that's a novel idea. Diane mentioned that when she preached for me, and I do appreciate that because I am a Bible guy. You know what? We're getting so with technology. Have you ever heard of AI?
Yeah.
You can't trust anything anymore. So I am now a big believer in bringing a printed Bible to church. How about getting rid of the one on the telephone? You don't know if that's true or not anymore because of AI. So bring a real Bible with you. There's Bibles in the pews with you. Let's turn our Bible to Genesis chapter 1. And this is a foundational verse, by the way. This is a foundational verse that we hang our hats on as Christians. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Friends, this isn't just a statement about biology. This is a statement about divine design. Do y'all see what it says there? It says, God made mankind in his image. And he made them male and female. Two sexes, not three, not 10, not 75, two, male and female. That is the good design of God. Now, to reject that design isn't just to be confused. When you reject that design, you know what you're doing? You are rebelling against the Creator. And we don't do that. We don't get to redefine what God has already defined. And yet today, people are being told that biology doesn't matter. That instead, your feelings are the highest authority, and truth is whatever you want it to be. Can you imagine a pot saying to the potter, "You made me wrong"? I'm not a bowl, I'm a lamp. Well, that's exactly the kind of confusion and the Bible warns us about. For instance, go to Isaiah chapter 45. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. And again, there are Bibles in the pews in front of you. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. I know the ones in the pews are the King James Version. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9. Look at what it says here. Woe. Okay, whatever starts out with woe. Okay, that's pay attention. Woe to the one who contends with his maker. That's what's happening today. We're telling God, you made a mistake when you made me. Boy, does that take nerve, huh? Wow. Woe to the one who contends with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you are making say, he has no hands. Again, that's what's happening today. The clay is shouting at the potter. But friends, God doesn't make mistakes. When he made you male or female, he did it on purpose for a purpose. But the world won't listen. It says gender is a spectrum, not something that is designed by God. It tells us that biology doesn't matter and that we can all create our own identity. Do you know what the highest virtue in our culture is today? Self. Self-expression. And the worst possible offense today isn't something like murder or abuse. You know what it is today? You hurt my feelings. That is the worst thing that you can do today. You hurt my feelings. That makes me upset. You stepped on my toes. Don't do that. Well, we can murder someone. We can do things like that. But my goodness, don't hurt someone's feelings. Well, friends, I got news for you. Feelings don't create truth. You do know that your feelings can be wrong, right? You can have all the feelings you want. But sometimes your feelings, my feelings, sometimes can be wrong. Feelings don't set us free. Only Jesus Christ can set us free. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. And I want you to look at what happens to a society that turns away from God. That turns away from God's truth. That suppresses the truth. We're going to look at verses 24 and 25 of Romans chapter 1. Now we read this and we talked a little bit about it last week. When we talked about marriage. Look at what Paul writes there. Romans chapter 1 verses 24 and 25. Therefore God gave them over. This is how God judges today. God does not throw lightning bolts down at you. He doesn't smite you and everything like that. Like in the Old Testament. This is how God judges today. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. How about I repeat that? For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Let's repeat that one more time so we understand what's going on in our country today. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Amen. That's what's happening today. Amen. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. In other words, when people push God away, you know what God is going to do? He's going to allow them to follow the very desires that end up destroying. And that is exactly what we're seeing happening today. Boys are being told that they might really be girls. And girls are being told that they actually might be boys. Children are being put on puberty blockers, and in some cases even undergoing irreversible procedures, all in the name of so-called affirmation. I have to affirm now, right? I have to affirm. Can't tell the truth. I have to affirm, because your truth is your truth. Okay? My truth is my truth, and I have to agree with your truth. Good Greek word for that, by the way. Boo. But notice Romans 1 makes it very clear that when you and I reject God, we lose more than just morality. Guys, we lose clarity. All of a sudden, confusion becomes the norm. And anytime confusion is around, who else is right there with it? Satan. And then lies aren't just accepted, lies are now celebrated. But here's the good news. The Bible just doesn't tell us about gender. The Bible tells us about true identity. And our ultimate identity is not in our gender, it's not in our sexuality, it's not in your job, it's not in your family, it's not in your desires, it's not in your personality. You know where your true identity is found? It's found in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where your true identity is. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, let's look at verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is no male and female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. Now notice, that verse doesn't erase gender. It doesn't say that there's no such thing as male and female. It says that in Christ, our value, our worth, and our salvation, it is all equal. In other words, identity is, it's not based on externals. Our identity is rooted in our union with Jesus Christ. And this is so important for us to realize. Because today, people are searching for who they are. And the world keeps telling them to look inward. But friends, when you look inward, all you're going to do is find more confusion. It's only when you look upward that you will find the truth. Friends, I've got news for you. You are not what you feel. I never thought I was ever going to have to preach a message on this. When I entered the ministry in 2003, all the way back then, I never thought that I was going to have to give a message on identity. But that's how far we have lost our way. Amen. I'm having to give a message on this stuff. And it just boggles the mind. Because everybody's like, well, that's how I feel. Well, guys, you're who God made you to be. And if you trust in Jesus, you are His. And that leads to this question. Can someone who struggles with gender identity or same-sex attraction, can they find freedom today? Absolutely. Absolutely. The answer is yes. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. And especially, and pay attention to verse 11. Because verse 11 is the key to this whole scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. This is kind of a scary verse if you really read it. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That gets your attention right away, doesn't it? You ain't going to heaven. That's what this is saying. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral. Let me stop there for just a moment. I don't want to chase a rabbit on this, but when sexually immoral, it wraps everything together there, okay? Same-sex marriage, homosexuality, couples living together, all that stuff is wrapped up in sexual immorality, okay? Sometimes I get a kick out of people. I have had people that come over, and they're over in church, and they'll come over and they'll be just, those homosexuals. Oh, homosexuality, what a terrible sin. This same-sex marriage, it just drives me crazy. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, you're living together. Who are you to complain about homosexuals? Who are you to complain about same-sex marriage? You're doing the exact same thing in the eyes of God. That's called hypocrites, by the way. But sexual immorality, it's all of that stuff. Nor adulterers, nor adulterers. I'm going to skip over that other word because I'm just going to butcher it. Effeminate. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 11. And that's what some of you were. Before you came to Jesus Christ, that was a description of you. I was a drunkard. That's what I used to be. Notice what it says there. That's what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Again, did you catch verse 11? And such were some of you. In other words, that means God can save people out of sexual sin. God can save people out of confusion. God can save people out of rebellion. And that's because the grace of God is powerful enough to change anyone. It changed me. Amen. It changed Diane. And I hope you don't mind me saying that. That's you looking at two people who have been changed by grace. Took us from messed up people to actually standing behind pulpits and preaching them. That's what God can do for you. No one is too far gone. No one is beyond hope. Because in Jesus Christ, you can be washed, you can be changed, and you can be made new.
Amen.
Now, let's just step outside of the Bible for just a moment. And let's consider what's happening in our world today. Because even if someone were to set aside scripture, which we never do, but even if they did, the cultural confusion around us still confirms the truth of God's design. Take, for example, the sharp rise in gender confusion. Now, when I say sharp rise, I'm not talking about a slow cultural shift. I'm talking about a dramatic spike in the last 5 years. For instance, in the United States, the number of adolescents identifying as transgender has increased significantly over the past several years, with one major study showing that nearly 2% of all high school teenagers now identify as transgender. And the largest growth is among girls. This is a girl issue. Yes, there are boys, but this is a girl issue. And here's the thing that's really interesting. Experts have noticed that this rise is not often driven by biology. You know what it's being driven by? Social contagion. In other words, it's not spreading naturally. It's spreading through influence. Social media, peer groups, teachers. Online influencers are encouraging and sometimes even pressuring young people to question their identity. For example, a 2023 study surveyed over 1,600 parents, and they found out that most of the children who experienced sudden onset gender dysphoria, again, were girls. And the study also found that many of these girls had several friends who had come out as transgender around the exact same time. Social influence. That's what's driving this. In addition, these adolescents who are struggling with this, who are coming out with this, if you look at their history, they know they have a history of mental health challenges. Anxiety, depression, and past trauma. And here's the real sad part. Rather than finding peace or resolution through transitioning, many of these kids, they continue to struggle. Sometimes even more than before. The research is catching up on this stuff now. And the research shows that transgender identifying teens are significantly more likely to experience ongoing mental health issues, including self-harm and suicidal thoughts. So while our culture insists that embracing these new identities leads to freedom, what we're really seeing is a generation in deeper confusion and deeper pain.
Amen.
Oh, the world out there promises clarity, but it is delivering nothing but chaos and pain. It promises healing, but all it's giving these kids is hurt. Now, friends, let me make this very, very clear. These aren't just numbers. We are talking about real people. Friends, these are real teenagers in real families. I don't want to minimize that. This is real pain for some families. And these kids and these families, they need more than affirmation. They need the truth.
Amen.
They need the truth. They need the truth spoken in love. They need to hear what God has already declared. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are who I created you to be. And those of you in Christ, you are a new creation. I was born all the way back in 1960. And back then, we had a very different way of looking at kids who didn't quite fit the mold. For instance, girls who liked to hang out and play with boys, who liked to climb trees, who played sports, who fixed cars, who wore jeans instead of dresses. Well, we had a name for them. Do you remember what it was?
Tomboy.
Everybody, a tomboy. And no one made a big deal about it. They were just a tomboy. And let me tell you something about tomboys. When they became moms, they made the best mothers for boys. Because they were out working on cars with their kids. They were out playing catch with their kids. I mean, they made wonderful mothers to boys. But there were also boys who were a little more sensitive. They were more into the arts. More feminine in some ways and gentle. And I had some friends like that. And I don't ever remember us rushing around labeling them and pushing them to change their sex to a girl. Guess what? Those fathers, those guys that grow up and become fathers, they make wonderful fathers to daughters. Don't they? Because they're a little more sensitive than someone like Jim Stump. They make wonderful, wonderful fathers. But I'm sorry, today it seems like we have lost our ever-loving minds. You know what we have moved from? let me get back saying this before I say that. Back then, the parents back then, they understood that kids grow. Kids change. Kids figure it out over time. That's just part of growing up. But today, we have moved from what? We've moved from being patient with children to pressuring them to change. Instead of giving our kids space to mature, our culture now pushes them to question their identity in ways that can lead to drastic and permanent changes. And here's something else that isn't talked about enough, and it should be. Even after these people transition, these kids transition, they change their names, they change their appearance, they undergo all this surgery. Do you know that the rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide often do not improve? In many cases, it stays the same or it gets worse. Just go on YouTube and listen to a lot of testimonies from young ladies that have went through it. And why? Why does it get worse once you transition? Because it does. That's what the studies are starting to show. Well, it's simple. Surgery may be able to change a body. Surgery cannot heal a soul.
Amen.
Surgery cannot heal a soul. Only Jesus Christ can do that.
Amen.
And what's more, these studies are now showing that 80 to 90% of children who experience gender dysphoria, they will grow out of it naturally, if they're just given the freedom to go through adolescence without being pushed to transition. So instead of helping our kids through this confusing stage of life, and we have all been there, well, some of you are so old you can't remember you were there.
Amen.
I'm not there yet. But yeah, it was a really challenging time for many of us. They'll grow out of it naturally if they're just given the freedom to go through adolescence without being pushed to transition. Well, friends, I got news for you. When we encourage our kids to double down, sometimes with life altering consequences, I do not call that compassion. I do not call that care. You know what I call it? Cruelty and child abuse. And this next statement probably shouldn't stay it because it'll get me in trouble. Those kids should be taken away from their families because it is child abuse.
Amen.
Pushing your child to transition. You know what? If you're over 18, go ahead and transition. I really don't care. If that's what you want to do, knock yourself out. I'll pray for you. But leave the kids alone.
Amen.
Leave the kids figure it out for themselves. Because they will figure it out. So I guess the question is, how do we respond to all of this stuff? Well, first, we need to respond with truth and with love. Friends, we don't hate people who are confused, okay? We don't mock, we don't belittle people, we don't do that. But friends, we also do not affirm what God has called sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 makes it very clear that we are to speak the truth in love. Not one or the other, but both. Secondly, our job is to point people to Jesus Christ, not to behavior modification, not to political conservatism. Not my job to make your kid a Republican. That's not going to save them. But we act like it's going to. Oh, gosh, they just need to be conservatives and that'll fix everything. I don't think so. No. We need to point these kids to the gospel.
Amen.
To the gospel. Hey, this isn't about cleaning yourself up or fitting into a moral mode. It's about coming to the one who can make all things new. That's what it's about. And thirdly, and this is the most important part, for you parents that are here today or parents listening online, man, you have to disciple your children. We grandparents can't do it anymore because we don't. When you become a grandparent, you know the hardest thing for me when I became a grandparent, I realized I don't have a lot of power over my kids. But I still have power over my kid. That is the parent of my grandchildren. I can make their lives absolutely miserable, which I do.
Amen.
I am dead dog serious. I may have no pull over my grandchildren, but I sure do have pull over Jason and Brad, and I'm on the phone. What are you doing? You're stupid. What are you doing?
Amen.
That's love in the Somerville family. So, grandparents, you still have power over your children, maybe not your grandchildren. I mean, do not wait until your kids are 14, 15, 16 years old to tell them what it means to be a man or a woman of God. You got to start when they're little.
Amen.
Start now. Teach them that God's design is good. Teach them to honor their body and to honor their creator and be the loudest, clearest, most loving voice they hear. Because I'm telling you, if you do not disciple your kids, the schools will. The world will. We're losing a generation of children because we don't want to offend. And as I have said this many, many times, and I'll say it again, for you parents, you are not your child's friend. You are their parent. They've got friends. They don't need another friend. They need a parent. They need someone who will guide them, who will say no once in a while. All right, let me close with this. Identity is not something that you and I can create. Identity is something that you and I receive from God. The world says be true to yourself. Have you ever heard that? Just be true to yourself. You know what Jesus says? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Total opposite of what the world is saying. The world says, find yourself. You ever heard that? I've got to find myself. What does Jesus say? Lose your life. Lose your life and you'll find me. You want a great picture of identity? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm almost done. And follow along as I read verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's your identity. You belong to Jesus Christ. You were bought with his blood, and you were made for his glory. So if you're here today and you're struggling, if you feel confused, if you feel broken or ashamed, there is hope for you. All you have to do is humble yourself, swallow your pride, and come to Jesus Christ. He already knows you. He already loves you. And he alone can give you a new identity. If you're here today and you're a parent, I challenge you to lead with courage. Oh, takes courage to lead your kids today because there's so much pushback. Speak the truth in your home. Don't be silent. Cowards are silent. Don't be a coward. Be courageous. And for us as a church, we need to be people who stand firm in the truth. Oh, we love deeply, but we speak the truth. And we hold fast to Christ in a culture that has lost its way.
Amen.
We have to do that. We have to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in a world full of confusion, I thank you for being a God of clarity. Father, I thank you for designing us with purpose. Thank you for giving us value. And thank you for making us new in Jesus Christ. Father, would you help us to love those who are struggling? Would you help us to speak the truth without fear? And Father, help us to raise up the next generation to know and to follow you.
Amen.
Father, we pray for healing, we pray for boldness, and we pray for grace to be your people in this time. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
A different Sunday. Please stand as we close our service this morning. We're going to be singing page 496, Living for Jesus. 496.